The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 3. Our order of march that fourth morning out of Zuleiga, on the way up into the mountains in search of the lost city, was as follows. In the lead, Roger and the guide Hobie, followed closely by Alvi and that evil-looking fellow Rudiger, all on camels. Then the six bearers with the luggage on mules, then myself and the third guide, Sammy, also on camels. That put me about 40 or 50 meters behind, and therefore downhill from the leaders. Sammy and I were passing the morning as pleasantly as it is possible to spend a morning, riding a very bony and flatulent camel up the side of a dry, dusty mountain in search of some godforsaken lost city. We were playing I Spy. I had just correctly guessed Dusty Rock when we heard a rumbling from ahead. My first thought was that my camel's GI tract was once again in some distress, but it seemed to be coming from ahead of us, so that was ruled out. I looked up and saw, to my horror, that somehow a rock slide had been triggered, and not only were the bearers and their mules tumbling rapidly and none too gracefully towards us, but also a large quantity of the material from which a rock slide gains its name. That is to say, rock. I quickly hied my camel into the bush on the side of the path, and Sammy did the same. Unfortunately, in my rush to avoid a painful and lingering death from repeated blunt trauma, I had lost some of my most treasured and valuable items of personal kit. One item in particular was galling to lose. That was my 1 liter personal flask of the local rum. This trip, I could now see, was going to be a lot less enjoyable. The curious thing about the incident was that the rock slide occurred at the exact moment when the evil-looking Rudiger was passing directly above the large rock pile and I was passing directly below it. I immediately suspected foul play. As we reassembled the gear and reloaded the mules, I looked over at Rudiger. He'd obviously been staring at me evilly. He looked away quickly. Now, not only was I greatly inconvenienced and uncomfortable, not to mention sober, but my life was quite possibly in danger. I swore to myself that I would never drink in Roger's club again. Alvi wanted to push on to the top of the first ridge and camp there that night, but Roger, to his credit, thought that we had perhaps been too shaken up by the rock slide, and it would be best if we would continue on only until we reached this little sort of rock ledge plateau thingy a few hundred meters further on and camp there. Alvi was therefore overruled. This provided me with great comfort until I learned that Rudiger had picked the spot. Nothing good could come of it, and in fact, nothing did.